Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
And as promised from our last program, we're going to continue talking about hoarding in today's program. What is hoarding? Well, that's when people keep too much stuff, more stuff than necessary. And because they keep so much stuff, they are a danger to themselves and a danger to others. So that's what we're going to continue talking about today in the second part of our lesson, day two. But also today we're going to compare, or we're going to tell the differences between a collector and a hoarder. Now, you might know someone who's a collector who goes out and collects maybe different kinds of anime figurines or something like that.
I collect pigs. Little figurines of pigs, yeah.
Yeah, as far as I know, I don't collect anything. But there is a difference between collectors and hoarders.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about those differences in today's program. So if you are a collector and you're worried about being a hoarder, it's probably okay because a collector probably makes money from their collections or something like
that. Maybe if they want to sell, yeah.
Could be, but hoarders don't. They just keep stuff. Mostly it's useless junk.
It's junk, usually.
That could be a fire hazard.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, with all that stuff in your house, it might make it possible to have more roaches and rats and stuff like that. So, indeed, I think a collector is good and a hoarder is bad. But let's talk about the things they have in common and the things that are different between them. So let's get to it. Let's read the entire contents of today's lesson right now, one time. On the surface, collectors and hoarders seem to have a lot in common. However, there are many differences between them. Collectors usually develop their hobby because they have a deep interest in a subject. They can spend hours arranging their collections neatly and carefully putting items on display. These collections are a source of passion and excitement. On the other hand, hoarders will stuff random, worthless items wherever they can find space. These items don't bring them joy, only anxiety. If you are trying to overcome a hoarding disorder, the first step is to admit that you have a problem. Next, you should ask someone you trust for help. It's best to take a gradual approach when you're recovering from hoarding. For instance, you might focus on keeping one area of your home clear of clutter. Once you've succeeded with that, you can move on to another space. Taking some before and after pictures can remind you of what you've achieved and boost your confidence. Helping someone with their hoarding disorder is an ongoing process. For one thing, you can't just force hoarders to throw things out, as this will only hurt them and lead to them accumulating even more stuff. In fact, there's a 100% chance the hoarding will continue in this case. Instead, it's better to get a psychologist involved. A psychologist can show the patient how to change their thoughts and actions by helping them practice making changes. It takes years of therapy and lifelong support to overcome the disorder, but continual treatment will give them a chance of living without the behavior's burden.
Okay, guys, so in the first sentence here, it says, on the surface. That little phrase there just means at a quick glance, you're not doing a lot of in-depth research on something. If you just look at a situation quickly, this is what you come away with or what you get. What your opinion is if you just take a quick look. So you could say at first glance, comma, collectors and hoarders seem to have a lot in common. Yeah, what's the difference? They look kind of the same. They're both kind of keeping stuff that they don't want to get rid of. But collectors usually focus on certain objects that have value. I just want to say that for the record. The stuff that collectors collect or keep typically can be sold for a lot of money later on. Some collectors never want to let go of their collections, maybe until they pass away and then their family sells their collections. Hmm. Other collectors will collect things and then sell them on eBay, for example. It's one place they could sell. But hoarders are usually collecting junk. They just keep junk that nobody else wants and stuff that's pretty useless, but they're afraid to let go of anything they own.
Right. So, yes, they do have a lot in common. They have a lot of similarities. Mm. We say this in relationships. Hey, John, why did you break up with Lisa? Well, we didn't have anything in common.
Yeah.
We didn't have any similar interests and stuff like that. So, yes, hoarders and collectors do have a lot in common, but there are many differences between them. Collectors usually develop their hobby because they have a deep interest in a subject. Now, I don't know exactly why you have a deep interest in pigs. But you collect pigs.
I'll tell you.
Because you're born the year
of
the
pig. No, when I laugh sometimes, comes out.
Oh,
so,
okay.
No, especially when I was in college, yeah.
That would explain it. Okay.
Yeah.
Pigs are actually pretty sweet little animals. They wag their tails when you pet them and stuff like that. How can you eat bacon when you've seen something like that?
Oh, I do like bacon, though. I know.
Okay. But in any case, yes, you're a collector of pigs. Okay.
Yeah.
So you have a deep interest in that particular subject. Or maybe somebody collects coins or postage stamps because they think that's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And they can spend hours arranging their collections neatly and carefully putting items on display. So yes, indeed, they spend a lot of time with their collections. All the things you collect together is your collection. Here, look at my stamp collection. Look at my coin collection, etc. So they kind of arrange it neatly. They get everything organized in boxes that are properly labeled and stored neatly on shelves and stuff like that. And then when they invite their friends over or when they go to an exhibition or something like that or a trade show, they carefully put those items on display. Everything is arranged very neatly. They take this very seriously.
Yeah, neatly here, of course, is an adverb, but we typically will use it as an adjective. We'll describe someone as looking very neat and clean. Or a mom could say, hey, get into your room. It's a mess. I want it looking very neat before you go out to play. So neat is the adjective, and of course, this is the adverb, which is being used to talk about how people arrange or organize their collections. It looks very neat, very tidy. Tidy is another adjective that's similar, tidy and neat. So they want to organize them to look really tidy because they're putting their items on display. So if you put something on display, you arrange things for other people to come by and look at them. Typically, we go and see things on display in stores, like department stores, or maybe at museums. They have exhibits with artwork on display. So here we're putting your collections on display. I actually have all my pigs that I've collected in a little bookshelf space just for my pigs. I also have a pig hat, which is very fun. Now, these collections are a source of passion and excitement. If someone's passionate about something, they get a lot of joy from it. They love it. They've got a lot of excitement and interest in it. And that's what some of these collections can be, a source of passion or place to get passion from and excitement.
For example, I have a friend named Gordon, and his passion is drum and bass music. I don't know if you've ever heard of that before. It's kind of like club electronica kind of music. It's kind of interesting. That's his passion.
Mm.
But in this particular case, these collections are a source of passion for these people, and it's also a source of excitement. They get really excited about their collections. Now, on the other hand, we use that phrase when we're comparing stuff. On one hand, blah, blah, blah. But on the other hand, blah, blah, blah. So on the other hand, hoarders will stuff random worthless items wherever they can find space.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about the collection of junk. They just want to keep it, so they stuff it anywhere. Oh, there's a space on top of that shelf over there. I'll put it there, or I could put it in the doorway there, or behind the toilet in the bathroom. There's space there. Wherever they can find space, they just put something there.
Yeah, but they soon find that they've run out of space. So these items don't bring them joy, only anxiety. If you're anxious, then you have anxiety. Anxiety is a noun. Anxious is an adjective. Oh, I have a test tomorrow. I'm so anxious. Or you could say, oh, what's wrong? Oh, I feel I have a lot of anxiety about my test. So let's move on to the next paragraph. If you're trying to overcome a hoarding disorder, just means you're working on getting rid of this problem. Notice they don't call it a disease. A disease is usually very serious. A disorder is usually something that requires a psychiatrist or a psychologist. I'll talk about the difference between those two doctors in a minute. But if you overcome something, you're trying to put a problem behind you so it no longer bothers you. If you want to overcome a hoarding disorder, though, the first step in the whole process is to just say, hey, I think I have a problem.
Yes, admit it to yourself, confess that you are guilty of this crime, and then you can start making steps to solve this problem.
He's joking, it's not a crime, but yeah.
Well, it could be a crime if the police come over and arrest you for being a danger to yourself and others, but no, it's generally considered some kind of disorder,
like
an eating disorder.
A problem.
This is a hoarding disorder. And next, you should ask someone you trust for help. So yes, admit it to yourself that you have this problem. Yeah, I definitely keep too much stuff, but I can't help it. I've been doing this ever since I was a kid.
Yeah.
How can I stop doing this? How can I break my addiction to hoarding? So one way you can do, of course, is to ask a trusted friend for help or a trusted sibling. Ask your sister or maybe your husband or your wife or whatever. Gee, I've got this problem. I admit it. I confess. You were right all along. Now, can you help me with this problem?
Yeah, and it's great if the person suffering from this hoarding disorder can see the problem for themselves. Sometimes you do have to intervention, as we mentioned in day one of this unit, where you invite someone who sees maybe a friend who has this problem will invite their family and other friends to have a meeting and say, we want to help you. You have this problem. What can we do? So next, that's the first step. So next, you should ask someone for help, which Tom talked about. It's best to take a gradual approach when you're recovering from hoarding. Gradual just means slowly over time, a little bit more. Gradual approach. Approach here just means a method. Oh, how are you going to approach that problem? It also means to move nearer to someone. Someone can approach you and ask you a question, which means they just walk up to you. But here it means method. What method, what way are you going to use to tackle this problem? So it's best not to go, okay, tomorrow's a new day. I'm not going to keep anything now. That's too fast. You need to do little by little so that your mind can get used to the idea. I think you have to train your mind slowly over time.
Yeah, this might be a difference between the East and the West. Westerners tend to like a direct approach to dealing with problems, whereas in the East, they kind of like a gradual approach or a more subtle approach. Men maybe have more of a direct approach, whereas women have an indirect approach to getting what they want, etc. So yes, in this particular case, take a gradual approach to your problem when you're trying to recover from hoarding. And we'll continue talking about this disorder, this affliction, in just a couple of seconds. Right now, let's listen to our beloved Chinese teacher.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jenny. 今天我们继续来看第四单元。好，我们要讨论的是一种心理的疾病，它叫做 hoarding, 也就是储物症。这是一种 disorder。那要怎么样去处理，要怎么样去改变，这边就要来稍微讨论一下。不过第一点呢，大家要说，看起来我们所谓的 collectors 跟 hoarders 好像蛮像的。Have a lot in common. Have a lot in common 就表示有共通之处，而且有很多共通之处。相反的，如果说一点相似之处都没有，你会说 have nothing in common, have little in common. 不过这边说的 collectors 是收藏家哦，这是很正面的字，而 hoarders 是储物狂，这是一个病症。所以这两者之间，竟然有很多一样的。不过重点就在他们的差异之处，因为所谓的 collectors, 他当然是对某一个主题很有兴趣，所以就变成嗜好了，他就会去收集，然后把它排列得非常整齐。Arranging their collections neatly. 好，我们看到这个 arranging 为什么叫 ing 呢？我们要往前看，因为有一个 spend 在前面。Spend hours arranging. 我们知道 spend 这个动词，如果花时间做什么事情，后面的动词要加 ving。好，那我们说到 collectors, 它是摆得很整齐哦，所以你看到 spend 后面的 put in, 这两个动词 arranging, put in 都是 ving 哦，放的 on display, 放得很整齐。 可是 hoarders 呢？ hoarders 它就不一样了，它收藏的是没什么价值的。Wherever they can find space, 不管在哪里有空间就摆。好， wherever 就是 no matter where。而且这些东西也没有带来快乐，其实带来的是 anxiety, 焦虑。好，我们继续往下看。下面就说到，假如说你是很想要克服你有这种症状，那 the first step is, 第一步就是 to admit that you have a problem, 先承认的确你有这方面的问题。再来呢， next, 你看我们谈事情的顺序，第一第二，下一步 next 你要怎么办？要找一个信得过的人来帮忙你，最好就是你要慢慢来， take a gradual approach, 换句话说不要急，要循序渐进，因为呢如果你太急，不见得真能改变你的问题。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, let's continue with our lesson. Okay, we're talking about people who have the problem of hoarding, and we're trying to talk about the differences between collectors and hoarders, and we're also trying to talk about how you can help someone who suffers from hoarding. First of all, that person needs to admit that they have a problem, and then they need to ask someone they trust for help. And of course, if you're trying to help them, you should take a gradual approach with them. Don't be too sudden. For instance, or for example, you might focus on keeping one area of your home clear of clutter. Now, when I look at the house I live in and all the junk my wife has collected, I just get so depressed because I realize it's going to take years to clean out all this stuff in this house. I actually have to quit my jobs. All my work, I have to quit and have a full-time job at home for a year at least to clean out all that. It could be. It could very well be.
Well, you own the whole building, so you have more floors than more people, too.
Well, it's very overwhelming, so I think this might be good advice. Just start with one area. Let's start with this room right here, okay? We probably can't do the whole house, so let's try with one part of the house. Just this one room, and try to keep that area clear of clutter for as long as you can.
That's good advice. We're often told that if we have a big assignment, for example, like homework, and you just don't want to start, just do a little bit every day, right? So once you've succeeded with that one area of your home, then you move on to another space. And taking some before and after pictures can remind you of what you've achieved and boost your confidence.We see a lot of before and after pictures when people get makeovers. For example, someone gets their hair styled in a different way, gets a new wardrobe of clothing, and so they look cuter, or maybe they even get their makeup redone. Those are before and after results. Before and after pictures are also used for people who are starting a diet. You often see them take a picture of themselves as, you know, their fat size and then their skinny size. Those are before and after photos or before and after pictures. If you remind someone of something, it just means you tell them a piece of information that they need to remember. So these pictures are the things that are going to remind you or help you remember that you've achieved quite a bit. Look at what your house used to look like. Now it looks like this. Yay. If you achieve something, you work hard toward a goal and you accomplish your goal, you could say. So what you've achieved, or you could say what you've accomplished. You can use either verb there. If you boost your confidence, you lift it. To boost means to raise to a higher level, boost someone's confidence.
It improves your confidence, so then you can start tackling another space in your house. This could be a project that could last several years, so be mentally prepared for that. Now, helping someone with their hoarding disorder is an ongoing process, which is basically what I just said. Ongoing means it continues.
It doesn't
really end.
Yeah.
It probably won't ever end until the end of your life. A process is just when things change over time. It just requires a lot of different steps, different actions in order to achieve a particular goal.
Mm. Sure does. So, helping someone is, as Tom said, an ongoing process. There are a lot of things we do where we use a process, a series of steps to accomplish something. I don't know, I have an early morning process that I usually use. It's kind of like a routine. I get up early, I go to work out, I come home and eat, and then I go to work. So, for one thing, you can't just force hoarders to throw things out.Yeah, that doesn't work.
It's too extreme.
This can only hurt them and lead to them accumulating even more stuff. To accumulate is a verb that means to collect or bring things together. I've accumulated a lot of stamps or little, you know, those little stamps you get at convenience stores. And then once you've collected a lot of those stamps or accumulated enough, then you can switch or exchange it for some sort of good or product that they're selling. That's what accumulate means. So don't force them to change overnight. Give them time to get used to this.
Indeed. In fact, there's a 100% chance the hoarding will continue in this case. So just make it worse. It's just like losing weight. If you go on a diet and you lose too much weight, guess what? You're going to gain it right back, and then you're going to get even more heavy.
Yeah, if you gain, it's okay to lose a lot of weight, but not too quickly.
Yeah, just lose it slowly because the brain remembers what it has lost. And I think this is
probably... It wants to go back to that old weight.
It probably has something to do with evolution or something like that in the old days when we needed to survive. So, yeah, watch out there. So, yes, don't be too extreme and just gradually work on an area in the house and stuff like that because they'll probably just get worse if you are too extreme. Now, instead, it's a better idea to get a psychologist involved. That's a person who can give them counseling. You can go to their office or something and talk about this problem, or maybe the psychologist can come over to your house and take a look and try to help you. That's a person who usually gives you help with your mental problems.
I wanted to explain the difference between psychiatrist and a psychologist. Both of these people work with people's mental problems, things that are happening in their mind. A psychiatrist is a medical doctor. That particular person has graduated from medical school, and they've chosen to focus on the mind, not the brain where you do operations for brain surgery, no. But they are a therapist, and they can also prescribe medications. A psychologist is a PhD doctor. They are not a medical doctor. So they've gone to school, but not as long, but they also work with people and their mental problems or disorders. There's a difference between them. So a psychologist can show the patient how to change their thoughts and their actions by helping them practice making changes. And of course, you can bet those psychologists don't take this process too quickly.
Right. So it takes years of therapy and lifelong support to overcome the disorder. But continual treatment will give them a chance of living without the behavior's burden. So like a lot of things, it takes years and years. In this particular case, if you're seeing a psychologist, then you're having therapy where you go back for sessions maybe once a week or something like that and talk about your progress and things like that. And it's a lifelong problem. You need support probably from a psychologist, but also from caring family members. And eventually you can overcome this disorder. Maybe you won't be able to totally cure it, but you'll be able to deal with it and not keep so much stuff so as to make your life a burden. And yes, indeed, this is continual treatment, which means it doesn't stop. It's got to continue on and not have breaks. It will give you a chance of living without the burden of this behavior. Burden is something that causes you inconvenience, and it's something you really want to get rid of. Get rid of the burden of smoking. I've been smoking for many years and I cough all the time and I'm afraid of getting cancer. It's really a burden, but I just can't quit.
A burden can also be some sort of duty that you're required to do, or anything that causes you worry or hardship that distresses you is a burden. You want to lift those burdens and get them off your back. And I think we can officially say here, hoarding's probably an addiction. And so we all know that you can overcome addictions, but then you have to be very careful because it's easy to slip back into that old behavior or patterns that you were following earlier. So good luck to those out there who are suffering or know someone who is suffering. Hopefully they can get some help. Right now, we're going to get some help from our Chinese teacher.
好，那我们说到，诶，最好的方式是慢慢来。那怎么说叫慢慢来？他就举例咯，当你家里有一堆乱的东西，那你应该可以先从某一个区块开始，然后这一个区块如果你成功克服，再往下一个区块前进。好，这个 once you have succeeded with that, once它意思呢有很多种，但是在这个地方它的意思是一个连接词，我们中文翻成一旦你成功了，那就可以怎么样。注意哦，这是一个复数连接词的用法。好，那我们来看看，他说那你可以把你事前跟事后这个 before and after pictures, 换句话说，还没有清理成功之前的乱的样子跟你成功之后这两个前后的照片，如果你摆在一起，你就可以把它当作一个 reminder, 这些照片可以 remind you of what you have achieved, 可以提醒自己原来啊，你就已经达到了成功的目标。再来，下面最后这一段，我们就要看看怎么样帮助有 hoarding disorder 这样子的人，怎么样让他解决这个问题呢？好，一样的，第一个 for one thing, 首先就是你绝对不要强迫他们，强迫他们可能让问题更严重。他说到这样会伤害他们，而且呢会怎么样 lead to them accumulating even more stuff。 我们知道 lead to 这个动词 lead 本来就是会有导致的意思，但是我们知道 lead to可能是一个不定词的 to, 也就是说它后面有可能是加一个原形动词，表示 lead to 做什么事。可是有时候的 lead to 更常见的这个导致的 to 是一个介系词，像在这边它加的是一个结果，不过这个结果有一点特别，因为它的结果里面它是说到这个人会怎样，所以这个结果的 them 是受词，后面还有一个补充说明他的会让他们导致的结果是他们会 accumulating 一直持续的然后堆积物品。好，所以第一点 lead to 有时候 to 的确是当不定词加动作，可是 lead to 更常用的就像这个 to 是介系词片语后面加名词或 ving, 而这个地方也很特别，是一个受词然后再加 ving 补充说明。如果说要真的帮忙他们，可能会让心理学家们来一起帮忙 psychologist, 也就是心理学家，如果他们进来一起帮忙的话可能会比较好，他会练习让他们慢慢的去做改变，然后扭转他们的想法跟行为。那只有这样子不断的治疗才能真的让他们不要有这样子的 burden。 OK, 我们今天的讲解就到这边结束，我们下次见。
That's it for today. Thank you so much for joining us, and good luck with your progress in trying to improve your English and to try to get rid of all your clutter. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie. Bye. Bye.